Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Thanks, Zach, and welcome back. Today, I'll continue sharing a powerful conversation I had with Dan Seaborn. Dan is the founder of Winning at Home, an organization dedicated to strengthening marriages and families. It's important for parents to have their identities rooted in who God says they are so that they can parent from a place of knowing and abiding in Christ, rather than acting out of fear, pressure, or uncertainty. Hey, there's still a lot more to unpack over the next 2 days, so let's dive right back into our conversation with my guest, Dan Seaborn.
The relationship piece. If we don't have a relationship with our kids, typically we're not going to have a platform or an opportunity to speak into their life.
Right.
Can you address that?
Yeah, I think it's probably the most critical piece of the whole thing. So often, because of fear, because of the inability of ourselves to be able to move forward in a relationship, maybe from something from our past, this is an area and a strain for many parents. So I think one of the things parenting does for all of us is it reveals a lot of things about our own identity. So often we push off and say, well, my kids, probably a lot of that comes from us not having a good relationship ourselves with the Father. The better my relationship is with the Father, the more time I spend with him, the more I seek him, the more I'm able then to relate and understand and talk to my children. But I will tell you right now, I know a couple just this week, they encouraged their child in an area that got their kid involved in some things that are immoral, things that are not aligning with God's word. And when I addressed it and talked with them about it, they said, well, I just want my kid happy and I want to be a friend with them. Yeah. And I said to them, that's not what you're after. If you're trying to make your kid happy, you are going to literally destroy their life. And, you know, even Christian parents sometimes will say, well, you know, God wants us happy. I'm sorry. I don't see that in scripture. If God wants us happy, then he sure did his son over, because Jesus' life was not always happy. God wants us joyful. Joyful means we have an ability to rely and trust God with the situation and circumstance we're in, even if it's not in our favor. And so parents today, I need you to think big and long-term about what your relationship is with your kids like. Yeah. It's the parents who teach responsibility. It's the parents who parent for the long haul. I tried to tell my children the truth, even when they didn't like it, because I want to have a good adult relationship with them. I want to be friends as we get older, but I wasn't looking for friendships in those younger years. And I think too often parents are wanting to be cool, be the cool parent, fit in. Everybody wants to come to our house. I'm super cool. That's not what you're looking for. Parents are here to, in the end, lead your children into a stronger and more powerful relationship with the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong, Tim, I know you. I know you had some fun. I remember back in the day, you went out of your way to make sure there was a place to pitch in your backyard and some fun stuff with your kids. And you were at every one of Zach's games because you love baseball. Same thing with me. I absolutely love having a ball with my kids. My goal is not to be their best friend, to be their pal. My goal is to be their dad. My goal is to be a role model and show them sometimes you got to make tough decisions. So parents, check your own pulse and say, what am I after here? Am I trying to lead my kids toward Jesus, or am I trying to lead my kids toward me so they'll think I'm super cool?
We ended the day yesterday, Dan, talking about the whole issue of gaming and the internet, social media. Dan, I want to go back to that conversation. A couple of words that really jump out when we have this conversation are sexting and cyberbullying. Let's jump into sexting real quick, because I don't think a lot of parents understand it, or they don't want to understand it. But Dan, this is a serious issue, very common among kids. And Dan, it's really concerning, because there's some legal issues that show up right here too, and kids don't understand that.
That's so true, Tim. The one thing that I'm fearful of for children and teens in this area is if you have a minor and they're doing some of these things, you need to know there are legal ramifications that you need to be aware of. Just being younger, that sort of thing. If you send a picture of yourself, you're doing things that could get you in jail. I mean, just the legal law allows the authorities to come after you because you simply can't text a picture of yourself and that sort of thing under the age of 17. I know here in Michigan, probably different states have different rules and laws. And most parents are unaware of that. And again, kind of going along with what we taught in this book, they're so scared to address it. Like the average kid is not going to hear this question from the parent. Hey, did you get any, you know, sex today? Did you get anything sent on your phone today? And a friend of mine does that sort of thing. He goes around, travels and speaks at schools, and especially at middle school. He was speaking in Iowa, and he was speaking to all eighth grade girls. He took the eighth grade girls into a room by themselves, and he asked the girls, have you ever received, and I'll be very careful here, but Tim, we'll all know what I'm saying. Have you ever received a certain picture on your phone in a text from a guy? Have you ever had a text like that? And every eighth grade girl in the room he was talking to, I think there were 25, 30 girls, he told me, in that room, every girl had received a picture from a boy like that. And the parents were in another room, and he asked them, how many of you parents think your kids have ever received a message like that? Only a couple raised their hand. Because parents are in denial on this issue, and it scares us. It scares us. That's why we wrote the book. It's scary. I want to tell you, it's reality. It's what's happening. Not every kid. The other day, I was sitting with a young girl, teenage girl, and I asked her, parents gave me permission. She had never received that. She had not. So praise the Lord. That's good. But in reality, you put a phone in my hand at 15, 16, 17. I don't understand the consequences of what I'm doing. And so parents, know, just simply know the legal law in your state and make sure you at least communicate that to your child, because they could end up doing something that gets them in trouble, gets them in a situation where they're dealing with legal ramifications that's going to affect them long term.
Because if they share a picture of another person with someone else who's under the age of 17, a minor, that is a violation of the law, and kids are getting prosecuted for this. Dan, I remember when my kids were growing up, locally, there was an organization called Blue Ridge Thunder.
Yeah.
And I had been invited over to see what Blue Ridge Thunder was all about. Shaq was a part of this and more, but it was about undercover police officers living in this online space looking for travelers. Those were people who were trying to recruit kids, adults, if you will, recruiting kids for some type of sexual relations. And they would travel then to their community. So think of some girl who's in a busted home, desperate for love online, looking for the love of her dad. Somebody loves on her in a chat space or what have you. Next thing you know, this guy's pressing in, and then what they want to meet. You hear what I'm saying? And it's that kind of thing. When I let my kids know about this, what it did is it began to open up conversation about what's happening online. Have you ever seen this kind of thing? Did you know that when pictures get shared, this is a legal issue and more? And those are the type of conversations here we need to have. You talk about an internet code of conduct. What it will help families do is have meaningful conversations and, by the way, help them develop this kind of code of conduct of what we do. I can hear some parents saying, well, I just bring the hammer down. I just tell them. And hey, listen, there probably are times when you got to have those kind of conversations, Dan. But on the other hand, kids who, you know, maybe shy are getting caught up in this thing and you have no idea. They've been spending a lot of time up in their room.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. How do we get there, Dan? What are your thoughts?
I would say to you that if you do the hammer down, you're just pushing your kids to maybe even fall deeper into that unhealthy relationship, because that other person over there has a listening ear, wants to know everything they're saying. And as a parent, you also, many parents say this to me, I don't understand anything about technology. I don't even know the first place to look. Well, I'll tell you something I did back in the day, Tim. I would take my computer to the tech guy at my office, and you say, I don't know that kind of person. Yeah, somewhere in your world, somewhere in your life, one of your friends, somebody knows how to look at that stuff. And I would say to him, hey, look on the computer here, make sure my kids aren't going anywhere. Lots of ways to do that. But just be involved, even to say to your kid, hey, every now and then I take the computer and I'm just being wise and safe for myself. And I have things looked at, even our phones. I have a professional look at them every now and then. That's enough to let them know, oh, my parents are involved. They know what's going on. And at least it gives another barrier, if you will, for yeah. some of those things to happen. And the reality is I have some police friends who were recently telling me of finding lots of guys in our area who are doing that very thing. They're preying on the kids. You know, I have a 9-year-old grandson. He loves gaming. And I'll say to him every now and then, okay, those rooms you're going in, anybody ever ask you a question? Anybody ever talk to you about things? Anybody ever say anything that's kind of weird? Just talk to your kids about it. Normalize that conversation. Yeah. Again, you said it. It's so fearful because most parents are afraid, well, what if I get a yes? What am I going to do? Hey, at least you found out. At least you can take a step to try to help them. And parents, if I could tell you one thing today, don't be so scared. It's okay. Even if you get the worst piece of information. Last night, Jane and I played pickleball with this couple, and they just had that happen. They just had the worst information you could want to find out. Went on the phone, and it was awful. The mom, the wife, in this case, you know, of my friend and a friend of mine, she said, it was the worst news. I have all my life feared finding this out, that this was going to happen. She said, it's my worst fear ever. And I said, and you're still alive, and God's going to be with you, and it's going to be okay, and we're going to walk with you. We'll get a counselor walk alongside you. So as a parent, just know that even if you get the worst news possible, I'm going to use a line here that won't make sense to somebody, but God always has your best interests in mind. You say, what? Yeah, listen to me. God always, even when you get the worst news possible, I can prove my point right there, Tim. We're having this interview right now. I'll tell you why. Because my daughter went wayward, was gone for 5 years, almost lost her life being beat to death by a baseball bat one night. You think I, as a dad, wanted to get that information? Shoot, no. I didn't want to know anything about it. But it's why I'm doing this today, because I care about parents. And I was at the bottom, and I needed somebody to love me. And the reason I wrote this book, the reason me and you are talking about Tammy, is because there's a parent out there scared or facing something, just found out some news that you did not want to know. And the reason I say God has your best interest in mind is because today I'm a better dad than I was pre all that stuff happening. Whatever you're going through, God's going to use it. And my brother came up with this line. He said, you know, God writes straight using crooked lines. And that's what's happened in my life. I got some crooked lines, but God is using that to make a mark for his kingdom. And if the purpose of your life, if the purpose of you as a parent is to bring honor and glory to God, then maybe he's going to trust you to go through something that you're not going to like, that you're scared of, because long term, he's going to use that to make an impact on your life, your kid's life, and other people who might be watching you. So, you know, as a parent today, we just want you to know, if you're scared and don't even want to dive into tech stuff, don't even want to see what might be on your kid's phone, we believe that in the long run, it will be beneficial for you, because you'll be able to possibly protect them from online predators, protect them from getting into some legal situation that's so hurtful to their long term.
Most of these kids are coming across this stuff innocently. You know that?
Totally.
Yeah, especially our young kids. There's a lot going on here. Dan, let's keep going. We got so much to talk about. Again, parenting isn't for cowards. Let's step up and into these moments, hopefully bringing light to the darkness or the challenges of everyday life. Dan, I want to talk a little bit about cyberbullying. It's got my attention. You cannot go up online and not read stories of kids who are just getting pounded by other kids. Kids can be so hurtful. They're mean. It's awful. And this internet thing, you can, with a push of a button, just absolutely destroy somebody. Look at Twitter. Look what's happening up there. It's nothing but a cesspool of hate.
Yes.
Dan, and our kids are on the receiving end often of this, and they already struggle with who am I, how do I fit in, self-esteem issues, and more. Can you address that issue for us as parents?
Yeah, and I want to start with helping parents understand something. Tim, I'm going to take you back to when me and you left school. Let's be 14. We left school at 3:30, 4 o'clock, got home. We were home for the night, and we could get away from some of the things that happened to us all day at school. There was a bully. I remember a guy named Bill at my school that was a bully that scared me to death. He said things to me that made me fearful, et cetera. But at 3:30, when I got on the bus or my parents picked me up and I got home, I could get away from that at least till the next day. Well, guess what? That doesn't stop at 3:30 now. At 3:30, it actually intensifies. What I felt actually begins to increase at 3:30 because I'm going home and he can get online and he can bring my name up and he can put me out there in social media and he can do this and that and the other, or him and his buddies can have a code name for me and he can use that code name to rip on me, put me down, and nobody even knows he's talking about me. So parents, first of all, you need to understand your children are living in a different world and growing up a different time with some of the social bullying stuff. And the social bullying, as Tim just said, can be even more intense because they're hiding behind a screen and they're able to say things that they wouldn't even say in person or say at school. So having the conversation with your children and just, again, everything, Tim, today goes back to relationships, doesn't it? Because ask your children, hey, is there anything you're dealing with? Is there anything that's coming your way socially that is putting you in a difficult situation? And Tim, I would tell you in the public schools in my area, okay? So growing up, I would tell you that a person who maybe was same-sex attracted, et cetera, that person probably got some bullying. It was wrong. Should not have been happening that way. Got it, et cetera. But it's almost reverse course now that if you're not trying out some same-sex stuff, I had a teen tell me the other day, a 17-year-old girl told me, if you're not trying out things that are same-sex, et cetera, you're kind of bullied now. You're thought of as kind of, what's wrong with you? Why are you not trying this, et cetera? So there's almost a flip in culture of these things. So bullying before was the opposite of that. Now bullying is this way. So what these kids are dealing with is really challenging. That's why the phone's ringing off the hook here, because kids are struggling with their identity and knowing where to go with the anxiety they're feeling about that.
Dan, it's hard to believe we're at a place now where that's become mainstream conversation.
Yeah.
Same-sex attraction behavior, homosexuality, being gay, to drag queens in schools, and are you trans, and how do we go about this? And it's like if you are not, quote, sensitive, then you're a bully.
Yeah.
In this whole thing. And how do we approach this when you have sincerely held religious faith beliefs, where you believe what God's word says and how God, well, he's the creator, the one who made both male and female in the midst of this. And God has an ethic, a sexual ethic on how we are to conduct ourselves, and that sex and that relationship is to be confined to the relationship between a man and a woman in the bond of marriage. Dan, where do we go? I mean, how do we begin to have conversations with our kids who are getting absolutely pounded on this very issue?
God created them male and female. Now, anytime you move away from that, we move away from peace and we move more toward chaos. And what's happened, and I believe in our culture, and I've listened to our counselors recently sit in a room and talk about the fact that now we base pretty much everything on feeling. Not much is based on fact anymore. We base everything on, how do you feel? What are you feeling, et cetera? We all know that that can get you into trouble really quick. Because if I base, Tim, today, what I want out of life on feelings, there'll be some people getting run over for me to accomplish what I want or whatever I'd want to fulfill in myself. And I want to just say, I pause here a moment just to say this to you. It's very likely, I'm not trying to bring something on you, I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm just trying to be a realist. Parents today, if you're raising children, if you have grandchildren, pretty good chance you're going to have one of them come to you and say, I'm same-sex attracted. It's just the culture we're in. It's being, like you said, pounded into their heads, Tim, day after night after day after night. So I go back to when I was young, Tim. I had thoughts and feelings about it. And if you had told me at the age of 10, 11, 12, I need to follow through on that, I don't know where I'd be today. And so I'm thankful that my parents taught me the ways of the Lord. Not that I wanted to follow them when I was a teenager, but as I grew up and became mature, I landed at a really good spot. And I want to say to parents today, if you have a child who comes to you and tells you that they are feeling same-sex attracted, are wanting to move forward to that sort of relationship, first of all, parents, what I'm about to say is going to shock a few of you. First thing I want to say to you is, wow, you must be a pretty awesome parent that your child, with this thing they're feeling inside, they're maybe anxious about, et cetera, that they would want to come and talk to you is a great gift to you. And it tells me you've probably parented really well, that your child would trust you with that piece of information, because they're being told by society, even by their school, don't talk to your parents. So if they're willing to do that and push through that, what a great blessing, because it gives you the opportunity to speak truth into them. And I want to say something. One of our counselors here told me, Dan, if I could give parents one piece of advice, she said, first of all, tell them their facial expression when their kid shares it, keep it calm, receive it, even smile, show love, show kindness. Don't do what everything inside you is wanting to do, because you're probably going to freak out. She said, just stay calm. She said, one of the reasons teens love to come talk to me, they can say anything to me and I don't overreact. And she said, as a parent, first of all, when a child tells you they're feeling something, your mind's going to go to the worst possible scenario. She said, don't do that. Just listen. They're grappling with it. They're confused themselves. They're being told 15 different things, and they need to be able to express what they're feeling on the inside. Allow them to share that. Then secondly, parents, this is doing a little bit of homework, but go ahead and have your homework done where you begin to ask them a few questions. Well, what's making you think that? Where are those feelings coming from? Who's influencing you to maybe have those kind of thoughts? What's your foundational belief as a person? Asking your own teenager, what do you think God's word says about that? How do you think God would want you to move forward with that? Now here, I'm going to tell you, a lot of kids are going to say, God wants me happy. You're going to have a hard conversation with your kid about life's not about happiness. Life's about purpose and finding their joy in the Lord.
Hey, that's a phrase that sums up our conversation today. Life isn't about being happy. It's about being joyful. You know, when our kids are young, they need our guidance, presence, and the example that we set far more than they need our friendship. But as we intentionally build our relationships rooted in trust, our children are far more likely to grow into followers of Jesus and in time have a meaningful friendship with us as adults. I'm grateful for Dan and his wisdom he's gained through the years as a father, and through his work in leading his ministry, Winning at Home. He'll be back with us again tomorrow as we wrap up this important 3-day conversation, so you don't want to miss it. Hey, if you'd like to catch up on yesterday's program or listen to the entire conversation together, visit our show at oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com. Search for Life, Love, Faith, and Family. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute.
Going the wrong way faster doesn't get you where you're meant to be. C.S. Lewis once said, if you've taken a wrong turn, progress means doing an about turn. And Proverbs 14 verse 8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. Clinically, we often double down on bad paths because admitting we are wrong feels like failure. But real maturity is the courage to pivot. Changing direction doesn't erase the journey, it redeems it. Because every detour can still lead to growth when you invite God into the reroute. You see, repentance is progress, not regression. My friend, is there an area where you need to turn back instead of pushing forward? Today, pray, own it, and reroute. Because that's not quitting, that's wisdom.
This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit AACC.net. That's AACC.net.